It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Indeed, it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. And speaking of emailing me, I have mentioned the Leslie Manoukian events. There will be one tomorrow, that is September 30th in Loveland, and then one on Saturday, October 2nd in Denver. And email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and I will get you the details. We did intend to have that on the recaps, and I got behind on the recaps on that, and I do owe a couple of you text messages as well on that, so I will be getting that to you a little bit later. But Leslie is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund, and just a super interesting speaker. And as we're looking at all of this force and coercion that's coming down the pike on these forced mandates, her work is super important. So again, apologies to those of you I still owe you information about, and then we will get on top of that today. So anyway, thank you to each of you who listen. I so appreciate you. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, and you were made for this time in history. Our America is really under assault from a public policy standpoint, from bringing all of these people in illegally across the border. America is truly, truly under assault. And I think a lot of people don't quite realize it because it seems like things are going well or better than they were. But let's go back to the Trump economy before this public policy was used to shut down our businesses. And unemployment was at record lows across the spectrum for blacks, for Hispanics, for women. Black home ownership was up 6 points. Unemployment rates were super low. People were thriving and prospering. And now we look at what's going on, and it truly looks like this administration is using the Lenin mantra, and that is the way to crush the middle class is through taxation and inflation. And so, my friends, we really need to be paying attention. And, of course, these next elections are super important. And so we really do need to be paying attention to that. But we were made for this time. We have had the benefits of all those that have come before us who want to pass on liberty, which is the responsible exercise of freedom, to the next generation. And, my gosh, producer Steve, we do see this under assault right now.
I shared this before with you before, and I'll share it again. As a 19-year-old going into the military and taking the oath of enlistment, and I will support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And again, as a 19-year-old thinking, my gosh, we don't have any domestic enemies. Boy, oh boy. How far we've come since then.
We really do. But you know what, Steve? This has been a long time in coming. Yesterday when, gosh, I think we were talking to Greg Morrissey, who originally was from Australia, and he mentioned George Washington. George Washington was so popular at the time that he could have been king, but he stepped down after two terms because he felt that we needed to continue to have servant leadership. It wasn't until we got to one of the progressives, FDR, he's like, no, wait a minute, I want to be president for longer. But, you know, there's just such a difference between the two men on that. And so when I say that, I mean, FDR was, what, elected in the 30s initially. We're going to be coming in here on 100 years on that soon. So it's not just happened. This has been a continual progression. And now, though, I'm I am grateful in some ways that the veil is off. We do know now what we are facing. And so anything on taxation right now, there's very few tax increases that I would recommend that people support. Of course, as many of you know, I have come out really strong no on this 55% increase, a requested increase in my hometown's Lone Tree's retail sales tax. And then, of course, we've come out really strong against this quote-unquote new marijuana tax for the children. And my friends, we have to be careful about what we call sin taxes, because this tax on marijuana, many people say, I don't use marijuana, I don't really care about it, I'd love it if they just taxed it out of existence. But what will happen is it'll tax retail or legal retail marijuana significantly, but it'll move many people over to the black market, which increases the crime in our neighborhoods. But let's think about that. So you think it's okay that they raise taxes over here on marijuana? It's a sin tax. But what about things that you might like? I was at an event last week and I said, you know, they might start to tax alcohol or ammo or gas. Of course, they have done that through fees. And somebody said, those are my favorite things. So we want to be really careful about what we're taxing. And taxes need to be broad. And then we need to have people in office that understand the economics of the way to really raise taxes is to really grow the economy. And so if you have a lot more people paying a lot more in tax, or if you have a lot more people paying taxes, that's the way you increase tax revenue. But Steve, if you look at my hometown right now, if you drive up and down Yosemite, which is one of the main streets, there is a ton of closed restaurants. So in essence, what should be happening is trying to figure out how to get those restaurants open. And one of those ways is to reduce taxes and reduce regulations, Steve.
Well, no doubt about that. And I think of, again, something else we've talked about in the past is the proverbial tax freedom day, that day in a given year that you have taken care of your tax debt and now you're working for yourself. And it vacillates from year to year. It usually happens in April. But, you know, anybody who's sitting back and saying, oh, yeah, tax me more. I just love it. My people really need to understand what's happening to them.
So my response to that, because we've had people that I had posted something on Nextdoor, and we've had people that don't live in the city that are advocating for higher taxes. And of course, there's a few people that are advocating for higher taxes. And I'm like, if you want to pay higher taxes, I'll give you the address where you can send your check. But it's typically, no, they don't want to really pay higher taxes. They want you to pay higher taxes. And again, this is a massive tax increase request over here on Lone Tree. And then this thing on LEAP. And this is why we really need to take a stand. And I'm pretty sure we've made a lot of noise on this. They thought this was going to be a slam dunk because it was a new marijuana tax for the children. And there's both Republicans and Democrats that have endorsed this. Some really fine folks, because I think that they've been bamboozled. They were told that this is a strategic step towards school choice and vouchers. It's not. If you actually read the complete 14-page initiative, it says this cannot be used for school tuition. And regarding the vouchers, it puts in place an unelected, unaccountable bureaucracy. It's an authority board. And this authority board is chosen by this governor, and they choose their replacements, and they have taxing power, and they choose all the vendors that families, quote unquote, would be able to choose to use for their after school program. The money never touches the family. The money goes from the authority board to the vendors. It's like, what could go wrong with that, Steve?
Well, these people who you keep track of these things, and thank God for you doing that. These people are fairly well politically connected, and they're jumping on the bandwagon probably prematurely. Think of the average voter when they see this language come up in front of them. What are they to think, and how are they going to vote?
Well, and you know, that is so interesting that you would bring that up. This is the first time that we've been out ahead of the game. And you received that blue book that has all the different taxing questions on that. And so that was an interesting experiment. There were four of us that submitted not supporting this, to the blue book. But they don't just print what you put in place. Then there is oh gosh, I think it's the Legislative Council, but don't totally quote me on that, is then they go through and then there's also a panel that they decide actually what that language is. And so some of the things that we put in there about the unelected, unaccountable board didn't make it into the Blue Book. So my respect for the Blue Book has gone down significantly. And I would highly recommend that if you use the Blue Book, go ahead. I get that. But I would also recommend, and we're working on it right now, putting our voter's guide up next to that. And then you compare, and we promise we give you the ballot language. We actually link to what the initiative really says, so that instead of you relying on people that have manipulated the language, you can read it yourself. And that's how we're going to get this country back. We have a civic duty to understand what we're voting on, Steve. And when I explain this to people and they go, well, that's not what they told me. Well, that's how we've gotten to the place that we are, is we've had political operatives that don't tell the whole truth. And so that's why we are a hard no on both of those things.
Educate me. Who puts the Blue Book out?
I think it is by the Legislative Council. You know what? I'm sure Patty will probably text us here in just a little bit, but I think it's the Legislative Council. It's an interesting process. And we'll explain that a little bit more. Let me make a note on that, because that is a really good question. And then the other thing, Steve, is they now do a gray book for local issues. And so we weighed in on that as well. And a lot of just regular people don't understand what the deadlines are. Somebody flagged me on this, that we needed it to put in our against position on this as well. And so we've been working really, really hard to get you guys all informed. And regarding LEAP, and this is being run by a very powerful Republican operative. They have $1.3 million. We are doing this with $0 right now. But we care about America, and that's why we're doing it, Steve.
Well, just as you said, Patty will text us shortly. She did. And the answer
is yes.
What
did you say?
Yes, it is the Legislative Council.
Okay. Okay, we'll explain that a little bit more. So I wanted to, we're going to have in the second segment, Greg Fisher. He is running for school board in Whitefield District 3. And we've realized, Steve, these school board races are so important. When I've seen the headlines of the junk that kids are being taught about, I mean, just totally sexualizing them instead of, how about the great classics? How about the great literature? I mean, you only have a certain amount of hours in the day, and teachers and students should be focusing on big ideas and great things and learning how to read and write and do arithmetic, instead of what we're seeing, and that is sexualizing our kids and trying to divide them through CRT, which is the critical race theory.
Great language, the great classics and great literature are, and those people are long gone. The LGBT community is here and now.
It is, but that's why we can't give up. And I always said to my kids that education, we should really be focusing on the things that celebrate the human spirit. That doesn't mean that we don't talk about the failures and you know, the things of the human condition, but we need to be focusing on the great things about our human spirit. I wanted to, before we get into the third and fourth segment, Dave Keat, and this is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. It's brought to you by Laramie Energy as well as Karis Oil and Gas. And you have to be asleep at the wheel if you've not realized how great affordable, efficient, reliable, and abundant energy is. We see Joe Biden come in, and with his pen, he has made basically increased our gas prices by probably 60 to 70%. We're not even in the home heating season yet. And so we're realizing how affordable, efficient, reliable, and abundant energy really powers our lives. So we'll talk with Dave Keat in the third and fourth segment about energy policy and what is happening there and what we can expect. And so that's going to be a great conversation as well. Before we go to break, it is Wednesday, which means it is Wings Day at Hooters Restaurants, which is another great partner of the show. And you buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. And that's from their whole repertoire. They have these great smoked wings, though, that are half the calories that I would highly recommend. So to find all their specials, go to my website. website, kimmunson.com. Click on the Hooters tab. I do recommend all those sponsors there. I know them all personally, but you'll get all the specials there. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Greg Fisher and then Lauren Levy down at the bottom of the hour. I want to ask him what he thinks about this big spending bill. Of course, Lauren's another great sponsor of the show. He's a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. Greatly appreciate that. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And I got over here on this whole taxation thing, Steve, and there's very few taxes that I would say that we should support. And one other thing that I found interesting is one of the arguments for the mayor and the city council trying to raise our taxes in Lone Tree by 55% is they said, well, we haven't raised the tax rate for a long time. And it's like, wait a minute. The way to increase tax revenue is to increase the pie. And if you start to tax the pie, then the pie gets smaller. So you want to increase the pie. And so anyway, I would be very unsupportive of most tax increases out there. But I just blew through this quote that I had for us today from John D. Rockefeller. And because Dave's going to be on the show a little bit later, of course, John D. Rockefeller, the senior, founded Standard Oil, which was an American oil-producing, transporting, refining, and marketing company. It was established in 1870 by Rockefeller and Henry Flagler. It was a corporation in Ohio. It was the largest oil refiner in the world at its height. Its history as one of the world's first and largest multinational corporations ended in 1911 when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Standard Oil was an illegal monopoly. But this is what's so interesting. He was born in 1839. He died in 1937. And he was an American business magnate and philanthropist. He was widely considered the wealthiest American of all time and the richest person in modern history. But he was born into a large and poor family in upstate New York that moved several times before eventually settling in Cleveland, Ohio. And this is what he said. He said, "The secret of success is to get up early, work late, and strike oil." So I thought that was pretty cool. So let's jump over here to Greg Fisher. He is running for school board in Widefield District 3. Greg, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
First of all, it is thank you for stepping forward. We have been asleep at the wheel on many of these school board races. And now when we look at curriculum, such as CRT, which is critical race theory, or any cousins of that, which are dividing and dividing kids on race. I mean, that is racist to do that. I can't believe that. And then sexualizing our kids. We've been asleep at the wheel, Greg. So talk to me about that.
Well, that's one of the problems, and that's why I chose to run the race, because I kept complaining, pointing the finger, but when you point that finger, you got three pointing back at you. So,
true.
As my kids were going to school and they started talking about graphic sexual practices, that started piquing my ears, and then more recently, the CRT DEI practices, and just the lack of transparency. Out in my sister's district in California, they will not tell you when they're going to be teaching things because they don't want you to know to pull your kid out. And, you know, kind of like what you were talking on that LEAP bill, there's no transparency. We have to work on steering. And one of the themes of the campaign I'm trying to put together is putting the three strands of education back together. And it starts with the parents. Parents, teachers have to form a partnership. Parents have to trust the teachers to teach the future generations of our students.
Well, and so many, I think, Greg, so many teachers, they just want to teach. They have gotten into the profession. They want to help their students. I had Ivy Lou on just recently, who's running for school board as well. She said, we want to get into a situation where our kids can soar. So that means giving them the tools. And one of the first things is reading. As I'm doing more research and understanding that a lot of our kids can't read, I mean, and all the money we spend towards education, it's beyond belief to me, Greg.
Oh, it totally is. And, you know, I used to laugh because my parents would always say, back in my day, and now I'm doing it. but we had the basics, right? Reading, writing, math, history, and civics. And you're doomed to repeat yourself if you don't understand history. So we have to do that. And in order to understand history, you got to know how to read. And when I go look at Colorado public schools and see that D3, not even 50% of the students are mastering reading. It's ridiculous.
It truly is, particularly with all the money that we spend on education. And how will you change this, Greg, when elected to the board?
Well, we have to get back to the basics. And you had mentioned Ivy. Ivy has become a critical resource for me. She's kind of a mentor. And we've been talking. It's back to the basics. You don't solve money problems with money. We are one of the highest per student spend in the world. And look where we're at. So if we could go back and let the teachers teach, not teach to test, not teach for all these unfunded, thrown-in ideas, and just get back to, like we had said, the reading, writing, math, history, and civics, we could actually be strong again.
Well, and I think that this is a theme that parents are listening to now, and that is our kids are falling behind. And I don't care where you are on the political spectrum. No parent wants to hear that their kids are falling behind. And so I think with so many of you who are stepping forward, it's like, what do parents have to lose to make a change from this trajectory that public education has been headed? What do parents have to lose? Because our kids are falling behind. You just mentioned reading scores. I think that parents are ready to make a change, Greg. I really do.
Well, they are. I mean, we joke at work that doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. So are we going to continue to bang our head on the wall, or are we going to stop and say, okay, I got a headache, let's resolve it, and let's change. Let's change our trajectory.
Well, and these kids that can't, you can't get third grade back. And my kids went through public education, and they had some really great teachers. And then I can only really think of one, that she was really headed towards retirement. And she wasn't that interested in the class. And that was probably one year that was a bit more of a wasted year. But otherwise, my kids had really great public education teachers. But they were not being taught all of this, as I say, the sexualization of our kids. I just have to ask you a question. You said your kids were coming home talking about some of this stuff, correct? Or did I catch that?
Well, yes. My oldest kids and then my sister's kids. So it's been going on for at least the last decade, if not two. It's more brazen.
Greg, and it's taking away their innocence. And the world is tough enough without having to use public education to take away their innocence. Greg Whitefield, how can people get more information about you?
So
no, Greg Fisher. You're running for Whitefield. Yeah. Sorry. Greg Fisher.
You're good. It's electgregory.com. And I am starting to get it updated and put issues and other information out. And if I may, Kim, throw out, there are two other conservative board members running who have similar principles. Dave Dock is on the ballot, and then Brenda Miller would be a write-in. And that would give us three positions of the five.
And how many are on the board? Oh, you said five.
Five okay. Total. Yeah, three openings, five on the board.
Okay. And I am really recommending, Greg, that people have an election exercise program, and that is adopt a candidate and walk for them. Go out and leave literature and walk for them. And so I think that that would be a great thing on these beautiful Colorado days. Instead of going to the gym, do an election integrity, or excuse me, yeah, that too, an election exercise program. So Greg Whitefield, again, that is electgregory.com. Is that right? Electgregory.com?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Greg, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Okay. And before we go to break, I'd like to talk a bit about this big spending bill. And Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is a specialist on mortgages. He watches the industry significantly. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Well, this isn't Lauren, but I'm still looking for him.
Okay. Well, that is one thing I guess we should admit is I have this great rig that I can actually broadcast remotely. And so that means I can't be looking at you across the glass. So we'll certainly get Lauren on. He may be traveling right now. He does travel somewhat extensively with that. But I will just comment on this big spending bill. Once again, Vladimir Lenin said the way to break the middle class is through taxation and inflation. And when we look at what is coming out of this administration and these things that are being proposed, it will break our country. And we have got to stop this and get this turned around. And again, with what is happening at the border, bringing all these people in, they're not checking whether or not they have a vaccine card. They're not checking to see. I mean, here you have Americans. They say that you have to have a vaccine card to go to a restaurant in L.A. or in New York City. And then if in fact COVID was such a dangerous thing, why on earth would they be letting people gather, not social distancing, at the border and then letting them come in? My friends, things don't match up. The rhetoric and the actions, they don't match up. And so we have to ask why. And this medical tyranny that we're seeing regarding the forced vaccination, as Leslie Manoukian said yesterday, is they cannot have this big, broad control group of people that have not gotten the vaccination and that are not dying. Now, I know that COVID is a thing, and I know that it's not fun, and I know that there have been people that have passed on because of that. But also, we've talked a bit about this and continue to bring this up with Brenda Bach, who received the Grand Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week American Patriot Award, because Grand County is so small, she can really watch the statistics. And in November of 2020, there was a gunshot murder suicide in Grand County, and she noticed that before they'd even finished their investigation, that the Polis administration, the state of Colorado, had noted those as COVID deaths. And she's been working diligently to try to get that change. She had actually talked to Governor Polis, and he said, well, we're going to find out what other states are doing. And he came back to her and said, well, they're doing the same thing. So how can you make public policy based on bad data? You have to ask that question. So let's go to break. When we come back, I'm thrilled to be talking with Dave Keat. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. It's brought to you by Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas. And Dave is the CEO of Caris Oil and Gas. And we realize that affordable, efficient, reliable, and abundant energy is what allows us to thrive and prosper. And there has been a real assault on that. So we'll talk with Dave about energy policy and what he sees coming down the pike. Stay tuned.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And this is our health and hydrocarbon show. And hydrocarbons, fossil fuels, which are organic, have actually helped more people across the globe thrive and prosper. And there's been such an assault from a public policy standpoint on our American producers. And this show's brought to you by Caris Oil and Gas and Laramie Energy. Certainly appreciate that. But thrilled to have on the line with me Dave Keat. He is the CEO of Caris Oil and Gas. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Appreciate the time.
Dave, it's amazing to me that we here in the Rocky Mountain region have been a great producer of clean natural gas and also clean burning coal and also oil as well. And there has been such an assault on this from a public policy standpoint, not only here in Colorado, but now we see it at the national level. And Patty, my researcher, had just pulled this headline from the Wall Street Journal that said OPEC predicts a winner in the global energy transition, and that is OPEC. So what's your thoughts on this, Dave?
Yeah, I think that that's an interesting take. It's very clear that the U.S. Is trying to shift production away from U.S. producers, and that is being done under the umbrella of alternative energy and assisting us in trying to battle climate change, and it's definitely having an impact. It's interesting to see the natural gas prices increase from last year around $2.50 to now in excess of $5 in the United States, and globally in excess of $20. And the effect of the policies that are being undertaken by not just those of us in the U.S., but globally, to suppress production of natural gas is really having a tremendous impact. I don't think it's anybody in the industry is surprised that the goal of OPEC is not to support initiatives, but the goal of OPEC is to recreate its dominance in the oil industry.
Well, and this piece is interesting. It says by 2045, it predicts its members oil will constitute 39% of the global crude consumption, up from 33%. And it says the group says it expects the Middle East, dominated by OPEC members like Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, to ship 57% of the world's crude exports by 2045. That's up from 48% in 2019. And, Dave, it's beyond belief. I just can't understand why the Biden administration is trying to make us dependent once again on the Middle East. It was so great when we were energy independent.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the politics in Washington. You know, things that got people in charge now are driven by different factors other than energy security. They believe that if we can get rid of fossil fuels, we can assist climate change. And interestingly, we spent trillions of dollars pursuing this line of thought, and there hasn't been really a metric that's been put out there by the government to measure success. So we keep throwing money at this particular thought line, yet there isn't an expectation by anybody. Like if we spend $5 trillion, X will happen. That's never been said. It's just we'll spend $5 trillion and see what happens. It'll be better. Well, I don't know what it is, but there hasn't been a metric proposed that allows us to measure whether that $5 trillion is well spent or not, which is interesting to me.
Well, and somebody is getting rich on this. $5 trillion, somebody is the recipient of that. And but, Dave, the narrative doesn't match up. When we just talked about this Wall Street Journal piece, OPEC is going to increase their production. And it says that global usage will increase as well. And so, again, it's tapping down the American producer, but yet making us dependent on those in the Middle East and other entities. And this is, from a national security standpoint, this is a real problem.
It is a problem. And it was interesting when Joe Biden asked OPEC and Russia to increase their oil production to help the gasoline supplies in the United States so that we could contain the costs in the United States. I'm not sure exactly how that fits in with the narrative of alternative energy. It just seems to me that he believes that the United States is incapable of producing oil and gas, and the other countries are the only ones that can do this for us. But we are seeing in real time the effect of these policies, and it's a dramatic increase in the costs of these commodities. The export supply growth from the United States in natural gas, for instance, is growing substantially. So the rest of the world wants our product, whereas there is a feeling in the United States that they don't want our product. For instance, export supply growth of LNG out of the United States into the global markets will be about 21 BCF a day. And I'm going to put that into context. So we produce in the United States about 90 BCF a day. So about 30% of our market, 25 to 30% of our market, is going to export to global markets. 5 years ago, that number was about 6 to 7% of our supply was going to global markets. So the global markets are driving significant demand for our products. And at the same time, we have which, by the way, is a clean form of energy, and we believe cleaner than coal for sure. And we believe that that's healthy. But it's also going to frustrate the United States for consumers as our price of natural gas goes up substantially.
Dave, I just feel that the everyday American, the everyday Coloradan, is just getting squeezed every which way, whether or not it's, and all of it's because of public policy, I think, or most all of it's because of public policy. When I think about that little family that's trying to make a go of it, they don't want to be on any kind of government assistance. They would prefer to have lower taxes and lower regulations and lower costs of their goods and services so that they can freely take care of themselves and their families. And there just seems like an assault on just everyday people just trying to make a go of it.
Yeah, I think that certainly there's a change in policy. I think some of the impacts have not really been thought through as to what happens if we actually change all the energy sources from fossil fuel to wind and solar and things like that. I think that what we're doing, honestly, is we're transferring the issue of pollution, if you will, or air quality. We're changing that impact on the earth from the air to the surface. And by that I mean the impact of wind and solar on the earth, it is not nothing. It is something, and that is that it increases substantially the amount of mining that we do in the globe, decreases drilling, increases mining. It increases the surface occupation substantially. By that I mean that the amount of surface of the earth that the solar panels and the windmills need to produce power is something like 40 to 50 times what an oil and gas well would need for the same amount of power. We're increasing substantially the amount of transmission wires that we're in string across the United States. And if you'll remember back in the summer when we had terrific fires in California, the biggest fire in California was caused by, oddly, transmission wires. And we think that substantially increasing those sources of wildfire across the United States is a good idea. The impact on wildlife is substantial, and the increase in water usage is substantial. By this change to theoretically green energy, and we don't talk about that. We don't talk about the impact on the surface. We don't talk about anything but a thought that reducing emissions is going to reduce the temperature of the globe.
Well, Dave, a couple of things on that. I've always wondered about what that ratio is when I've gone by like a windmill farm. It's like what they have done from a visual pollution standpoint on beautiful horizons that we had. It's been significant. But the fact, I've always wondered what that was. You said that you have to use 40 to 50 times the amount of land for wind and solar than you do for oil and gas production. That's pretty significant. And also on the transmission lines, a couple of things. As we've looked at our air from all of these forest fires, and I really think that a lot of these forest fires are because we have mismanaged our forests. I was up in Grand Lake for U.S. Constitution Week last week, and as we were driving up, you could see that so many different dead trees in the forest, and there's nothing that's being done to clean those out, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there's going to be a problem at some point in time. And then we look at the particles in the air from forest fires, and I want to go, where are all the green energy environmentalists on that? Because that has significantly affected our air quality.
Well, it's typically just chalked up to climate change and heat and drought, which are real. I mean, definitely those factors are affecting the West right now. But the source of the fire was a transmission line of the major fire in California. And we don't talk about the pollution that transmission lines caused by virtue of them starting wildfires. But yet we're going to increase the amount of transmission lines for the electricity generation substantially throughout the United States.
And how is oil and gas typically transported? I know that initially we were hoping we were going to have the Keystone Pipeline. Is it primary pipelines, or is it truck? Is it train? What is it exactly?
Natural gas is almost exclusively pipelines and underground pipelines at that.
So there's no surface?
It's subsurface transmission of natural gas. And oil can be a lot of different things. In general, it's pipelines or trucks. In some cases, trains.
Okay. I want to go to break. On the line with me is Dave Keith. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. And I think we're realizing that abundant, affordable, efficient, and reliable energy really does power our lives. And there's been such an assault on that. And again, when we talk about the middle class here in America, that's been what's so unique about the American idea, is this big, broad middle class. And through taxation, through inflation, through making energy more and more expensive, it's really been an assault on everyday people just wanting to take care of their families and to live their American dream. And so that's why we really have to shed light on this public policy, and we've got to get this thing turned around. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of the show. They're located in Sedalia, Colorado, and they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world, and they're getting in a whole bunch of inventory now for the Christmas season. And so whether or not you are a chef or a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. If it's a wedding gift, a birthday gift, be sure and check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Dave Keith.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who keep our independent voice on the air. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Today is our health and hydrocarbons show. And I think many more people are realizing that reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy really helps power our lives, helps power the American dream. And Dave Keat is on the line with me. He is the CEO of Caris Oil and Gas, and pleased that Caris Oil and Gas and Laramie Energy bring this show to you. Dave, my researcher found something from the Washington Free Beacon and said that President Joe Biden would need to implement a massive tax on emissions and conduct a near elimination of natural gas to meet his climate goals, according to left-leaning environmental experts. It says Biden will join leaders at the United Nations Climate Change Conference in November to discuss his administration's pledge to reduce U.S. carbon. What about China? What about all these other countries? That's not in here. That's me editorializing. By 50 to 52% by 2030. And then he has the audacity to say that this is going to cut energy costs for families. Unbelievable to me, Dave.
Yeah, it's it is remarkable to me that we believe that by ignoring the rest of the globe, we're somehow making an impact on the globe. Again, no measurement, no accountability for that statement is made. So if that's what they think, great. Tell me exactly what we can expect if we do this and how the rest of the globe is going to act. We know how OPEC's going to act. They're going to look to continue to gain market share. They're going to continue to produce fossil fuels for their own benefit, and there's nothing we're doing about that. When we talk about things like energy equity, that's important. That's important that in our role as a leader in the world, that energy equity is actually pursued. And what I mean by that is providing energy to developing nations. So, for instance, the 3 billion people in the world that are in developing nations that currently don't have access to electricity, giving them access to electricity produced by fossil fuels is a good thing. It is not a bad thing. Forcing them to live in a non-electric world and burn wood and dung inside in order to cook and heat themselves and heat their spaces is not what we should be doing as leaders of this globe. And those people are going to rise up in a good way, ultimately and economically, and be productive, more productive citizens of the globe. We got to help them. And we're not going to do that by continuing to beat down the fossil fuel industry. We have to reach out, make it cleaner, and make the fossil fuel industry do what they can to reach out and provide energy equity to the globe.
Well, and to your point about gathering wood and dung to basically keep family warm as well as to cook, that is, once you, a third world country gets electricity via fossil fuels, that frees up a woman. Women are normally the ones that are the collect, go out and gather all that. And so that frees up their time to start to maybe focus on a little small business or something. And I think that many times that is lost, that people don't understand that it is fossil fuels and affordable energy that actually is really great for all people, but it's really great for women. When I think about all that I can do in one day, get the clothes washed, get the dishes washed, go run a business, visit family or friends all in one day because of fossil fuels, I really think that we need to make sure that we protect it instead of attacking it.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting to think about government policy from the context of a private industry person. And, you know, before I would make a bet on the amount of money that these people are making a bet with, I think I'd have a substantial amount of financial analysis that indicates what the possible outcomes could be. We're living one of those outcomes right now, in a substantial inflation in energy costs that does not seem to have a nearby end to it. I would have thought that our leaders would have said, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to change our energy policy, and you can expect one of the impacts to be a substantial increase in your cost of energy because of what we're doing. And that's going to happen probably in the next 5 years. That would have been nice information to have. My suspicion is they didn't do that work, and they didn't know. And if they did know, then shame on them for not telling us. But they're not doing the proper analysis of the impact of their policies on anything but emissions. That is it. That's the only thing they look at. And we still don't know if reducing these emissions are in fact going to have the effect that they're saying that they're going to have.
Well, and a narrative that is not included in all this, and that is from electricity, so electric car batteries out there, that there is rare earth minerals that are necessary to make those batteries work. And that is done, as you mentioned, through mining. That mining does really affect the surface as well. And I don't think that you had that probably in your 40 to 50 times when you were talking about wind and solar. So there's also that impact. But once again, much of this rare earth mineral mining is done in other countries, not the United States. So once again, making us dependent on somebody other than ourselves. It's like being dependent on that, like a mother-in-law that may not like you so much or whatever, you know. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Well, and we go back to energy equity on that as well, in that the mining that's getting done is not necessarily being done under the auspices of OSHA and our regulations and how we treat laborers. It's being done by countries who probably have a lesser standard, and therefore shifting impact from American workers who are we are well-regulated in how we treat American workers versus how other countries may be treating their workers in those mines.
Dave, that brings up one other public policy question that I have really been thinking about, and that is that and certainly some regulations are probably good, but we have over-regulated, in my opinion, our labor market. And labor has gotten so expensive here in America that we've seen so much manufacturing go offshore. And again, that makes us more dependent on somebody else. And again, it's a public policy situation. What's your thoughts on that, Dave?
Well, I'm not sure that I necessarily understand the labor markets all that well to be a good commenter on that topic. I think that certainly in the energy industry, it's a well-paid industry, but it's well-paid because it's quite efficient. And the labor market that services our industry, and in particular our great employees, are extremely good at what they do, and every day find a way to bring energy to the market in as efficient fashion as possible, which allows us to be able to pay higher wages in the energy world. We're pretty proud of our workers, and they do a great job, and they are out in the outdoors 24/7. They're not inside an office in Washington. They are out in things like blizzards trying to provide energy. For instance, Storm Uri, we have great pictures of our great workers up on top of the mountains in outside Parachute, Colorado, trying to battle the storm and provide energy. But I think because they do those things, they earn that high wage. I can't necessarily talk about manufacturing moving offshore because that doesn't affect my business, but I can tell you that our workers earn their high wage that they get.
And have you seen a number of oil and gas workers leave the state of Colorado?
I think there's a growing competition for our workers who are have terrific ethical standards and are hardworking people who wouldn't want them. But we're getting more competition now from construction and other industries that have to finally increase their wages to compete for work.
Okay, interesting. Dave Keith, this has been a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate it. What's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
I just think that we have to take a step back and understand our energy mix in the United States and how we're really going to impact the globe. If we have a design on reducing emissions globally, then we should take a global approach to this and not just force this all in the United States for what seems to be kind of a head fake by OPEC and others in the world. We should be a part of the solution. We should not try to be a solution when we're only a small part of the global surface. We should lead, but we should also require that others join us. And I think if we do that, we'll have a better answer globally, and we'll have a better answer for those of us in the United States.
That seems like that makes a lot of sense. Dave Keith, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kim.
And that's Dave Keith with Caris Oil and Gas, and this has been our Health and Hydrocarbons Show. And again, abundant, efficient, reliable, and efficient energy is what powers our lives. Our quote for today is from John D. Rockefeller. He said, "I always try to turn every disaster into an opportunity." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a